Hey, I'm Melissa.
I'm Jim.
And I'm a chemist.
And I'm not.
And welcome to Chemistry for Your Life,
the podcast that helps you understand the chemistry of your everyday life. Bonus edition.
That's right.
Bonus edition.
I love bonus editions. It's so fun. It's a consistent time we get to hear from our listeners. So I really love it. And we posted a Q&R. If you have any questions for Melissa and Jan, send them this way on our Instagram. And we got so many good questions. Renee C. asked about what makes us itch. I think someone asked about the color of bruises. Someone asked about where lightning and thunder comes from. All these great questions, but they were all questions that we'll need a full episode to answer.
Oh, gotcha.
So we pulled mostly from email questions that people had sent in this week. So if you're really heartbroken that I didn't answer your questions, that's because they're so good that I need more time.
Mm. Nice. Yeah, some of the questions are just too good. I feel like there's sometimes where we get a lot of questions that are great for Q&R, but yeah, if y'all can make your questions just a little less good sometimes, that might help.
And you can also always ask us questions about us, or some people like to ask what's your favorite whatever, you know. We love those questions too. So,
and sometimes there's been some good follow-ups to, like, a question you think of while you listen to an episode that you're like, oh, does that mean, is that why this happens when this happens? And then it kind of adds a little bit of depth to a topic we already covered.
Yes, and we did have some of those that were emailed to us, so we did get some of those.
Nice. Are you ready to jump in?
I'm ready to jump in.
So this is, okay. So
before you start asking questions, these two, he just gave analogies, and we had talked about people writing those in.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last one that's not bolded, I'm going to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
And then he did ask this one down here, so maybe I should move it up.
Okay.
Oops. But, so the last one I'm going to ask, so don't read the answer.
Okay.
Okay.
So we've got two, not really questions, but analogies from our friend, Mr. Hollis, who teaches high school chemistry. And the first one he sent in is an analogy for electrons jumping up to the next level, as discussed in Why Do Glow Sticks Glow episode. So he said, when our kindergartners come up for lunch, they have to go up 4 stairs. Inevitably, after they eat, which is an input of energy, plus they're physically at a higher level, they're up the stairs, they jump down the steps and there is joy and a woohoo. That's the analogy I use to explain how energy / light is emitted after energy is put in.
That is such a great analogy. I love it. And I have asked before if you guys have analogies for things, just like Jam does at the end of episodes, we want to hear them. So this is a really good analogy for how energy is put in. The electrons jump to they call it the excited state. There's a higher energy level, and then they give off light or energy as they come back down to the relaxed state.
Mm.
So good job, Mr. Hollis. I love that.
Yeah, I like that too. And then the next one he sent in is an analogy on needing the right energy for an electron to jump up to the next level. Also discussed in Why Do Glow Sticks Glow?
Yeah, so that was just the idea that sometimes you need this exact right amount of energy for an electron to reach the next level. If it's too much or too little, it doesn't really work. Kind of like how you can't really dispense half a soda can.
Right. But he said, the size of the ladder / stair steps on the walk today, I was thinking about your discussion, the half can of soda, etc. And it dawned on me that I have experienced that on a trampoline. Hit the trampoline just right and it launches you. And the down is so fun. But hit the trampoline incorrectly and it's just a huge dud. Nothing happens. And I've definitely experienced that. That's so funny. I haven't thought about that in years.
Yeah, but it's such a great analogy. It really is. You need just the right conditions for you to get that launch and then relaxing of energy.
Yeah, interesting. And then Mr. Hollis asked, is a forensics episode in the works?
So the answer to this question is yes. Hopefully. I reached out to a forensics expert that I know, and she was busy towards the end of the semester and said, let's circle back around in the summer. So I'm hoping that will come to you sometime this summer, and I'm very excited.
Nice.
That'd be really fun. And I did also want to say, so Mr. Hollis requested the forensics episode, so it's been in the works for a while. But also Mr. Hollis and many other teachers have reached out to us and told us that they're using the podcast as part of their end of the semester projects, or he has his students go on podcast walks where they listen and then come back and describe what they've learned. And we love that. We are so excited about that. And if you guys have any questions or if you need anything, you educators who are using our episodes, please feel free to reach out, because that is so exciting to us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's especially sweet for me because I learned about podcasts when it was assigned to me in a class. I was assigned to listen to Radiolab.
Oh, nice.
And that changed my life. I've learned so much from podcasts. I enjoy them so much. Now I'm making a hobby out of making podcasts, hopefully a career one day out of it. And so that one assignment changed my life. So the idea that some students in high school right now are experiencing that same thing is really cool.
Mm.
Now I have a question for you, Jam. This was a question from Mr. Hollis for Jam. And that question is, what color is grass when it's dark outside?
Is this like a setup for a joke?
No, it's a legitimate question.
It sounds like it could be a setup for a joke. if you want it to be. So you want me to actually think of
legitimate response. Yeah. Like what we talked about, what is responsible for color and how color exists. And so I want to know if you have any thoughts on what happens if there's no light to color.
I guess you could say technically that because color is light, that at night, or say like a really, really dark night, because in our case, like we have lights outside in our front yard at night and stuff, but that it's kind of, it doesn't have a color if there's not light.
I mean, yeah.
Because it really is dependent on there being light. So imagine we did live in a pitch black world. There was no light anywhere, and everything we did was about feeling things. The color of it really wouldn't matter, and it wouldn't necessarily even exist, actually. The
color wouldn't. Yeah.
Is that,
I think that right? Yeah, that's what I would think too. Mr. Hollis said his students correctly came up with the idea that there's no color if there's nothing adding energy to excite the electrons. So I would agree with that. I think that if you don't have light, which is necessary to reflect color back to us or whatever, then there's no color. I think that that's right.
Man, so crazy. Crazy to think about.
Yeah, kind of cool to think about that. Without light, we wouldn't have color, you know?
Yeah, seriously. Gosh, dang. That's crazy. I love the trippiness of questions like that.
Me too.
Okay, here's a question from Anthony C., and he asks, is that why more birds are attracted to freshly cut lawns?
I think that was in relation to the question, to the episode about fresh cut grass and how it attracts bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that I did not know that that happened, but because I don't really cut lawns because I have very bad allergies. But I would guess that that is true. I would guess that birds have started to figure out that bugs are attracted to fresh cut grass, and therefore they're coming to find the bugs.
Oh, interesting. That makes sense.
It's the food chain.
Yep. Those smart little birds. And then Anthony had another question. Read the conversation on why they call chocolate liqueur, even though it's solid. Anthony said that the etymology of liqueur is a close relative to liquid, which is the Latin verb liquir, meaning to be fluid.
You can't speak Latin, Jam?
No, you know, it's just one of those things that I got really rusty because I didn't have to use it very often. You know, I don't have to use it when I go to the supermarket and ask for directions. Yeah. I don't have to use Latin anymore as much.
Yeah, it's kind of died off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. He's talking about maybe because the paste liquefies when it's heated, that's probably why they went with liqueur. And I agree with that, but it's a paste. So I would call it chocolate paste if I was in charge. But it's too late now.
Yeah. Dang, that's funny. Interesting. And this next question is from Scott A. And he said, okay, so color changing markers, you said it's two dyes and one gets reduced so only one dye expresses. But the markers aren't just secondary colors turning into primary colors. They're not just orange to red or whatever. For example, one of the markers, I'm guessing he's talking about one that he has or he has used, one of the markers is green to purple. So maybe a yellow gets turned to a red?
Okay, so that's a great question. And a great observation. I think Scott was the person who originally wrote in with this question, and he said his kids had some color changing markers. So I think he's seen this happen. I think that sometimes that can occur where you can increase the conjugation or decrease the conjugation by certain reactions. So you're not just shifting the color like, oh, we have mixed orange, we've mixed yellow and red to make orange. We're just slightly shifting it down a little bit on the color spectrum because we're adding one bond or removing one bond.
Oh, I see.
So I wonder if there's some other reactions at play besides just eliminating one of two colors mixed together. Maybe one is a different reaction occurs besides just reduction.
Got it. Okay.
That's very cool. I can't imagine how much fun those chemists have at the marker factory where they're figuring that stuff out.
That's crazy.
And Scott also asked about my research, what my current PhD work is on. And I want to do an episode about that. I actually talked with my advisor and we think it's probably better for me to wait until my work is published. Because it's not published yet, so we don't want to give too much away.
Right.
But I will quickly say that my research is chemistry education. So I am learning about how students learn organic chemistry and how they feel about organic chemistry can impact their learning process. So one day when it's published, I will do a celebration episode of that publication and tell you all about my research and what I found out.
Nice. Okay, cool. Well, that is all the questions I have to ask you this month, Melissa. And now I thought we could transition to a time of thanking our Ko-Fi people, you guys who have gone and either given a one time or have signed up to give and donate a cup of coffee to us monthly.
Yes, thank you guys so much for taking the time to go on our Ko-Fi and either give us a one-time donation or a monthly donation. That literally helps us keep our podcast going and helps us be able to give more time. So thanks to Fur895, to Aspen, to the Hefners, and to Hunter R for your donations. And then for our recurring monthly members, we're so excited to have Chelsea B, Isabel and Michael, Stephen B, Shay P, and Christina G to give us a monthly donation. And all of you guys, Chelsea, Isabel, Michael, Stephen, Shay, and Christina, will all be receiving a handwritten thank you note from me and Jam for their monthly support and an original sticker designed by artist and friend of the show, Nikki Knoll. You can check her out on Thimble and Brush Co. She has amazing, beautiful artwork.
Yes, thank you guys so much. This has been awesome to see some of y'all be generous to be able to give monthly. We know that not everybody can do that, but those of you who've been able to do that, we are so thankful. You guys keep the show going.
This episode of Chemistry for Your Life was created by Melissa Collini and J.M. Robinson, and we'd like to give a special thanks to E. Robinson, who reviewed this episode.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.